So we're going to continue in our series.
It's been kind of cut up, but we're going to continue on. We're talking about unity through humility. We're going to Philippians chapter 2. And so we talked about the Philippian church. It was a healthy church. It was a strong church. It was a growing church. It was a missionary church. They supported Paul in his ministry, not just for when he was with them, but when he was in other places. And Paul said, "You are my crowning joy." And so Paul had a good relationship with this church. They were in a good place. But even though they were in a good place, he told them, you need to be vigilant. You need to be, as the King James says, sober, to be alert. And so we are picking up in our series here as we read through verse 1 and 2 here today. Paul asked them a series of questions to help them evaluate their humility, to evaluate where they were spiritually as a church. And Paul wanted the following traits of Christ to be evident within the church, and we'll go over those here in a minute. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2. It says, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your interests, but take an interest in others too." And so we're looking at these traits, and there's 7 traits here. I'm not sure how far we're going to go or if I'm going to combine some of these traits. But today, we want to take a self-examination. And the first one we talked about was the trait of encouragement. We talked about Barnabas. Barnabas was the Pollyanna. Everybody know the movie Pollyanna, right? He was the Pollyanna of the apostles. And he always looked after people. He always saw the good in people. And we saw that he operated in Paracletus, which was encouragement. He was a comforter. He brought solace to the church, exhortation, and he strengthened them. He was a positive influence on the church. And we said Paracletus comes from a word called Paraclete, which is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that Barnabas was a man full of the Holy Spirit. And so this trait just kind of poured out of his life. The second trait we talked about was the trait of comforting love. This is unconditional love. A love given to people that do not deserve it, that people are unworthy of being loved. How many know? So were we at one time. But while we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. And we talked about the restoration of Peter after he denied Jesus Christ. Jesus gave him comforting love and restored Peter. We talked about the trait of the Holy Spirit fellowship, koinonia. We celebrated koinonia last week with communion. It's a partnership. It's sharing and participating in or possessing together. And so we are in this together as a church. We are partners. And the Bible says the body of Christ has many parts, but it is only one body. And so we talked about 2 attitudes that we need to avoid. Number one, the attitude that says you don't need me. And secondly, the attitude of I don't need you. And so, folks, as I read it in the Bible in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, we need each other. Amen? We need each other. And so today we're going to talk about the trait of having a tender and compassionate heart. And so we're going to begin here today. This word tender, and I put the Greek word there, I'm not even going to begin to pronounce it. It means inward parts. It means intestines. It means heart. It means affections. And the Jewish understanding believed that the bowels were the source of compassion, pity, mercy, and kindness. And if you are familiar with John chapter 7, Jesus said, out of your belly shall what? Flow rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit. What? It comes from our inner being. It comes from our heart. It comes from that inner part of us that affects the outside. So our fellowship as believers here today should be to be emotionally engaged with one another. Our job is not just to go through the motion. Our job is not to just show up to church and say, hi, how are you, and then go our way. We are to emotionally be engaged with one another. How many know that? We are to love one another. Yes, we need to be tender to one another. And if you're a TV watcher and you are a Hallmark individual, The Hallmark Christmas Gagathon has begun. Amen. It's begun. And so what you see is on these shows is that you see couples coming together, and it comes through a series of portrayal of tender moments. These are connecting moments. These are moments where the heart begins to awaken. They begin to do life together. It's a time of discovery that the person that they're kind of dancing around with emotionally, they're both in love with each other, but it takes them a whole show to figure it out that they're in love with each other. It is dumb. It is dumb. When I fell in love with my wife, we had dated the semester before, and we had written and talked over the summer. And when I came back, I told Karen I loved her. And we went into a Hallmark moment where she said, I just want to be friends. Yes. I don't participate in the Hallmark moment. I'm kind of blunt. I'm forward. I told her I loved her. And she kind of went, whoa. Amen. I'm going to have a Hallmark Christmas moment here. Just let's do it. So we see these connecting moments. If you're familiar with Hallmark, she usually watches it on the TV, and I'm usually streaming what I want to watch, and then I'll look up and see what's going on. And you'll see those ugly sweater building gingerbread houses for contests. Man, how many of you ever built a gingerbread house for a contest? Come on, be real. Amen? Baking cookies. We eat the cookies. We don't bake the cookies, all right? The Christmas tree decorating, the picking the tree out, the lighting of the community tree, the snow angels, the ice skating. Ooh, over and over again. My joke is when she begins to watch the show, I'll kind of tune into what's happening on the TV. I have my earbuds in, and I just kind of say, hey, have they made the gingerbread houses yet? It is so predictable, all right? But as a church, how many know we need tender moments? We need to have tender moments in our Christian fellowship with one another. And they may come through events that happen in our life. These events happen to open up our heart towards one another. They make us come alive. And sometimes it comes in blessing others. How many know sometimes it's great to bless somebody, isn't it? It can become a tender moment, or being blessed by somebody else. And answered prayer could be one of those tender moments. One of the things that happened when Karen's mom passed away, I called an older lady that was in my church and told her that Karen's mom had just passed away. And it was probably just moments after I hung up, she was at our door. She was at our door there to comfort Karen in that most vulnerable time that she was going through. You see, these are tender moments. These are times when we can express our hearts to one another. There may be those times when we're surrounded by people that maybe have led us to the Lord. There are those who have prayed with us when we received the Holy Spirit, or maybe even received a healing from God as people were laying hands and gathering around us and just loving on us. It could be hanging out together. How many know people are lonely? There are probably some lonely people here. We need that fellowship with one another. Sometimes it means doing something together, but how many know sometimes it doesn't mean doing anything? Amen. It may be just sitting down having a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and just talking and just hanging out together. There are those times, these tender moments, that we begin to discover our vulnerability, when we begin to understand as people begin to share their life with us. And I'm going to embarrass Pastor and his wife, Pastor Clark and Judy Clark, and Wednesday night or Tuesday night in our Bible study, she shared a moment of something in her life that didn't go quite the way that she thought it was going to go, that she had to make a decision, and she said, I made the wrong decision. And that makes us vulnerable, but it also tells us that these people are real, that they're transparent, that they're honest. Folks, it tells us that we're not alone. How many know we all make mistakes? Hallelujah. The more I learn about the Clarks, the more I know they made a lot of mistakes. You know, when we first got here, we thought they were up here. As they keep sharing about their life, it's like they're coming down to our level. Hallelujah. Amen. But it's the vulnerability. There's those tender moments that you discover, hey, we got something in common here. We're on the same journey together. And so, tender. We are to be tender towards one another. We need to encourage these moments of just tenderness and just of ministering to one another. But there's also a word here, it says compassion. And it means to have pity, it means to have mercy. Of course, that Greek word means compassion. But I want to distinguish it from the word passion here this morning. Passion means this. It is a strong, and this one surprised me, and barely controllable emotion. I knew it was a strong emotion, but barely controllable. It means it is something that drives you. And the next definition says an intense desire and enthusiasm for something. So it's a strong, barely controllable emotion, and it's intense. But what I want to say about passion here this morning is passion is a word that basically means it's something that is self-fulfilling within ourselves. It is something within each one of us. We all have a passion for something. But that passion, even though we may be, our passion may be to help others, serve other people, do things for other people, guess what? It's still for our own gratification. It's still an inward quality. Even though it may be directed outward toward others, it is something that satisfies, gratifies, and fulfills us, is it not? Because it's something that we love to do. And how many know we do what we love to do? And we hate to do the things we don't love to do. And so it is a driving force. It is a controllable thing. It's a strong thing. It's an intense thing. And it pretty much drives our lives. And so when we talk about passion, it has to do with a motivation. Basically, also, it's an alternative motive that we have. Why do we do what we do? Because it makes us feel good. And so passion for things can be good things. And we also know that passion can also lead to get us into some trouble. Amen? I'm glad one person's honest here. Amen. James said, temptation comes from the lure of our own evil desires, right? What? Leads to sin, which leads to death. All right? So, passion. We're talking about the good passion here today. But today, I want to compare it to compassion. What is compassion? It is a feeling of deep sympathy or sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire, there we go, there's passion involved in this, in compassion, to alleviate the suffering. But I like this. This is the first definition that I came across when I looked it up. And yes. So it means to suffer with. Compassion means to suffer with. So what this means is that we're nowhere longer inward focused, we're outward focused. And there is a movement to action. We are no longer an observer, but we're part of the solution. That's what compassion is. Most people, including myself, react with empathy and sympathy. That's how we react. It says here, I read this online, so it must be true. The main difference between empathy and sympathy is that empathy is when you imagine yourself in another person's shoes, whereas sympathy is feeling sorry for someone's loss. Feelings. That's how they are. As we know, feelings are always in flux and continually changing. You may be feeling sorry for somebody, having empathy for someone right now, but 5-10 minutes later, you forget about it, and you don't feel it anymore. That's what sympathy and empathy has to deal with here. Feelings don't always lead to action. They seldom do. I know I should, but how many have ever been there? How many have got off the phone and with somebody and said, I should have prayed with them, but you didn't? Or somebody was kind of telling them their life situation, and you could have did something about it, but you didn't, right? We might have felt sorry for him. We might have thought, hey, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. A few years ago, how many know there were some fires in California? How many know today they're still having fires in California? Amen? And I just happened to, I don't watch a whole lot of news. I watch news clips. I read the headlines online. But a few years ago, a couple years ago, when they were having devastating fires there in California, and I knew about it, I heard about it, but I didn't really, it didn't really register with me. But as I watched a video, and they were interviewing somebody who had lost their house, and they showed a picture of just the foundation of the house, something welled up within me that wasn't there before. Empathy, sympathy began to kind of wash over me as I was watching this. And tears began to flow down my face because, I put myself in these people's shoes that their whole life, those things that they thought were important, the things that they invested in, was gone. And all that was left was a foundation of a house. And I began to cry. It was just something that kind of came over me. And you know something? I didn't do anything about it. Right? Because I was experiencing empathy and sympathy. I felt for them. But not to the place where I was willing to do something about it. Jesus was a person of compassion. How many know that? He was moved with tenderness and compassion. Jesus was moved to action. He just didn't have empathy and sympathy for people. But Jesus touched the eyes of the blind. He touched the lame. No matter what their sickness was, he was always laying hands on people. Jesus touched the leper. And if you know what the law says, you don't touch a leper. Because if you touch a leper, you're unclean for a certain amount of time, and you have to isolate yourself. It didn't stop Jesus. He laid hands on the leper. Jesus touched the woman who was hemorrhaging. How many know she wasn't even supposed to be in public? How many know that touching that woman made you unclean? But what did Jesus do? He ministered to her. Jesus loved on the children. Took them in his arms and he blessed them. Jesus comforted the widow who lost her son. The father whose son was demon-possessed. And encouraged the father whose daughter had just died. Jesus fed the multitudes. They had traveled with him. They followed him. They were out in a deserted place. We just talked about this a couple weeks ago. And what did he do? He said, don't send them away. Feed them, guys. Feed them. He had compassion. Jesus wept over Jerusalem's lostness and hopelessness. That's Easter. What's the Sunday before? Palm Sunday. Yes. Had to work through my calendar. The triumphal entry. Jesus rides over, looks over the city, and begins to weep. And we know what Jesus did. Less than a week later, he died on the cross for them. So Jesus mastered this trait of compassion. It was a call to action. And we are called to walk in his footsteps. And compassion is a tributary of the agape love. You remember that? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. That finds value in everyone. Whether anyone deserves it or not, compassion looks beyond the exterior and reaches out. Beyond the skin color, the attire, and the body appearances. Have you ever seen anybody that just kind of looked different? And you looked at them, and they said, what are you looking at? You know, you used to have to go to the circus to see the freak show. Now it comes to you. Any place, any time. Isn't it amazing? They make themselves look so weird, and they get upset because people look at them. Because what they do with their hair, what they do with their skin, right? freaky.
Don't look at me like I'm weird.
Yep, you're weird. Right? Look beyond those bodily appearances. We are to look beyond the attitudes, the words, and the actions. We are to look beyond the circumstances in which they find themselves. I don't know about you, but Scott Apel has been kind of acting kind of weird lately. How many noticed that? He took a trip to North Carolina and came back weird. Still the same weird? It's not weird, it's called compassion. God did something. He saw something. And he wanted to do something about it. You know, you look at this need down in North Carolina, Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida. You look at these states, and it is so overwhelming, the needs that are there. And where do you begin? Where do you even start? They went down there, him and his son, and they just wanted to check it out, see what was going on. And they came back different. They came back touched. They came back with, hey, you know, we can have empathy. We can have sympathy. We can say, oh, I'll pray for them. But there was something more that happened inside of them. It was called compassion. It may start with just one person. It may start with, in this way, it started with two people. It may start with an idea, a wish, a dream, a vision. It may start with something you just saw. And how many know that we are people of the Spirit? And how many know the Bible says his Spirit bears witness with our spirit? And so something happened within their heart. There was a communication that took place. But the Holy Spirit said, I don't want you to empathize. I don't want you to sympathize. I want you to do something about it. And they did. How many people ended up going? Okay. Started out with two and now 25 are down there. And there's some down there that are also helping them. Coming in from other churches helping them. Isn't that amazing? Compassion is almost a calling, isn't it? There's just some things that God brings into our life, some people that God brings into our life, that somehow may only touch you at the moment. But how many know once we act upon it, guess what? It begins to affect other people around us. That's what happened there. It started with two people. Now we got 25 down there. Plus, all of you gave towards it. Thank you. But it all began with an act of compassion. As I said, sometimes things are overwhelming and sometimes we don't even know how to begin. But Zechariah wrote this in his book. He said, do not despise these small beginnings. Do not despise. You know, we begin where we're at. Shelby's not here, is she? I don't think Shelby's here. You know, this widow thing started out small. And it's growing. And it's scaring her. Because it's becoming bigger than her expectation. But God gave her compassion for these group of people, those who have lost their loved ones. Think about it. Do not despise these small beginnings. And this is talking about the foundation of the temple. It was destroyed. They built the walls around the city and they began to build the foundation of the temple. For the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. God loves when we get involved. Whether it's a hammer, whether it's a few bucks, whether it's serving, whatever. As the scripture said, the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. That's what compassion's about. It's a work. It's work. That's why we like empathy and sympathy, because it doesn't cost us anything. Oh, I'll write a check. I'll give this amount of money. And then what? We wash our hands of it and move on. Compassion says, no, that's too easy.
can't get away with that. And so, do not despise the small beginnings. And the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. So, we're talking about Philippians chapter 2. We're talking about the Philippian church. And Paul began by asking multiple questions of the Philippian church concerning the traits of humility that were found in Jesus Christ. Is there any encouragement? Is there any comfort? Is there any fellowship? Is there any tenderness? Is there any compassion? Then he went on and said, then make my joy complete. Make me truly happy by doing this towards one another. These traits of humility guarantee unity in the church. These are qualities that God wants to see. And if we walk in these, guess what? We're not going to give place to the enemy. We're not going to give place to the enemy if we are walking in these traits towards one another. But it begins here in the house of God. Folks, the worst people we treat in the world are probably our people in our house. Isn't that weird? That we can go to church, we can go to work, we can hang out with all kinds of different people and be nicey-nicey. And then we come home and we're grouches. Come on. Isn't that a reality? But our family should be the ones we love the most. The church people are the ones we should love the most. It begins here. And if we have trouble here showing compassion to one another, how are we supposed to share it anywhere else? Peter wrote this. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Paul wrote in Galatians, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. We know Matthew 7:12. Most of you can confess or quote this. Do to others what you would have them do to you. If you were on the outs and down, wouldn't you want someone to come alongside and help you? Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, what? The same mercy and comfort that we received from the Lord. What do? We flip it around and give it to other people. Compassion is an outward sign of an inward love. So passion, this is basically passion redefined. It's redirected. Passion is what? Something we love to do, something that fulfills us, something that makes us come alive. But compassion makes other people come alive. It's giving to them. They're receiving. They're rejoicing because of what we've done to them. James chapter 2, 26. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. We can talk about faith all we want. Faith, 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 faith. But folks, without rolling up our sleeves, it's ineffective. It's ineffective. Empathy and sympathy do not get the job done. We're not all going to have compassion in the same areas. We're not going to have the same burdens. We're not going to be moved by certain things. But my encouragement to you is find out what does. And maybe it's time to pray, Lord, show me where I fit into this. Because as we've been sharing, we believe everybody in the body of Christ has a part to play. It may not be in this building. It may be somewhere in the community. Out there. Something that will move you, something that will make you come alive, that will make Christianity real to you. If we are not working for the Lord, I don't think we're fulfilled. We're not going to be fulfilled. I have a passion. I want to see the Steelers win today. Say a prayer. And if they lose, I'll have empathy and sympathy. Because there's nothing I can do about it. Find that spot. Can we have a musician, please? As we are just closing the service here today, I just wanted to kind of share with you what Paul is talking to the church here. That folks, we need to have some moments together as the people of God. We need to be tender to one another, loving to one another, serving one another. But we also need to have compassion, because compassion goes beyond just feeling sorry for what someone's going through. Margaret's here. She's going through surgery. We appreciate those who have signed up to bring meals. That's part of compassion, right? It's about serving. It's about not just saying, oh, we'll pray for you, sister. We're praying you'll get through. But how many know that's just the beginning? Recovery takes some time. So what is the Lord's, if you don't have something you're really compassionate about, something that just kind of drives you, that you're looking around and you don't see it, begin to pray, Lord, what is it that I can do? What can I do for you where I can roll up my sleeves and do something for you? Again, it may not be here in the church. There's needs everywhere. Wherever there's people, there's needs. Hallelujah. Father, we just close in prayer today. If you're here today and you need to kind of renew your relationship with Christ, today would be a great time. Maybe you had a rough week. Maybe you blew it. Maybe you did something that you weren't supposed to. Just take this moment as they're playing softly in the background just to make things right. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness, of anything we've done. So let me encourage you today. Don't walk out of this building without making things right with Jesus. Jesus, we come to you. We just lay our week, our past week, because, Lord, we want to go into the next week fresh, new, with a clean slate. Knowing, God, that you're going to help us, you're going to walk with us, you'll never leave us, never forsake us. Lord, we know those scriptures, Lord. Help us to make the right decisions. But, Lord, I ask that you would again fill our heart with, yes, sympathy and empathy are good to a certain point. We do need that. If we're unfeeling, then we're dead. But Lord, let us take it to the next step. That Lord, when a need pops up in the people around us' lives, Lord, help us to realize that we can be part of the solution. Even if it's just praying, if it's just helping them out, serving them in some capacity. Help us as Christians, Lord, not to be selfish. Sometimes we're more concerned about our own passions. And you're saying, hey, wake up. Wake up. Read the New Testament. Read the Gospels. Look what I did. I had compassion. Lord, we want to be like you. We want this virtue. We want this trait to be in our lives. I pray that you will reinforce it. As we looked at this today, Lord, we want that those traits of encouragement, comfort, fellowship in the Holy Spirit, tenderness and compassion. We want to wear it well, Lord. We want to put on Christ. We want to see people seek Jesus in us. And help us to give them a reason for why we are who we are and what we're doing. Be with that team today, Lord. I thank you for the heart that said we need to do something about it. And we ask, Lord, that everyone that's on that trip will have an awesome, blessed time. That in those moments, Lord, they're working together, but to be moments of tenderness. Times of bonding, time of ministering and serving one another. Thank you, Jesus. As we go our way this week, Father, I just pray that you'll just set the tone for us that even today, even before we leave this room, Lord, show me where I fit in, show me what I can do. I want this gift of tenderness and compassion for your people and for those outside of the church. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.